time to find balance and be refreshed here on Every Heart, Every Woman.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Get ready for uplifting music and inspiring interviews.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Let's get motivated to move forward as we share our life experiences. Host, Carla Nivens.
Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. Before we get started with our interview for today, we're going to set the tone with a little bit of live music. This is Be Exalted by David Lucky. Sit back and enjoy.
Song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise His name, for His name is great. For great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. Be exalted.
Welcome back, everyone. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. Our show is a program of Love Ministries, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. You can find out more information about Love Ministries from their website, loveministriesbuilds.org. We have a lot of things coming up in Love Ministries. We actually are about to take our teenagers on a retreat in just a couple of weeks now that May is here. So go to Love Ministries website and find out all the great information. You can sign your teenagers or your young people up to go with us. You can also sign up to volunteer, and we'd love to have you to do that. But let's get into our interview for today. We are welcoming Stevie Ray Farrell. Hey, Stevie.
Hello.
Stevie, thanks so much for being here with us.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
So Stevie is and we said we're going with Stevie. Really, we should say Stevie Ray. Should we say Stevie Ray?
You can call me whatever you want to call me. I mean, like I told you, you know, my close friends call me Stevie, but my fans know me as Stevie Ray.
There we go.
You know. I'm kidding. You just, whatever you want.
That is perfect. Okay, so I'm on the friend mark.
At Stevie Ray Music on Instagram.
There you go.
Okay. All right.
So Stevie, so like she said, she is an artist. She's a worship leader. She has her own social media and marketing business.
Yes.
So you're going to go have to search for her on her social media sites and websites and all of that stuff and keep up with everything that she's doing. But Stevie and I met at church.
Yes.
So Stevie was graduating from SMU.
Yes, I had graduated a couple years before that.
Okay.
By the time we met? I was 25. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Just like I was 25.
But people thought that I was 18.
There you go.
So I could see where.
So, okay. So you had already graduated.
Yes.
A couple years.
Mm-hmm.
And then you started singing with us on the worship team. And she sang with us for the first time on Easter.
Yes.
Which was her birthday that
yes.
year. So that's been how many years? 5, 6 years ago? Maybe shorter than that. 3 or 4.
Oh my gosh, how old am I? I'm 29. Let's do the math here. 4. 4 years.
Okay,
it's been
so 4 years
ago.
I should have been able to figure that out because you said 25. So
yes.
Okay, so 4 years
math.
Ago. And we've been singing together and doing a lot of stuff together. What people may not know is that you were very much involved in the background of this show, getting the platforms up and running, all of the pre-planning and all of that stuff that I use to talk to people about the show. You wrote it all.
Yes. Oh, I helped.
And you also did the cover for my single, In the Light.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So that cover, she designed it. Eric Carlson took the picture, but you designed it and everything. And so she and I have done a lot together. And now I have to keep up with her. I have to catch up with her because she's in and all over the place. And doing a bunch of things. So Stevie, I just wanted to actually just jump into the interview here. Just
sure.
We were sharing with my students with Visible Music College, and you started out by saying something really powerful. And I was like, we need to do a radio show this week before we forget everything that we just said. Mm-hmm. It was so meaningful and so powerful. And the students have actually sent me, you know, writings and saying how much what you said meant to them. So share with us, you know, just kind of your testimony and what's going on in your life and what you're learning.
Gosh, now I'm going to have to remember exactly what I said.
It was really powerful.
I think that this particular season has been a really great one for me. I'm learning a lot about what I don't want, and seeing some doors close, and my reaction to that I think was the thing that surprised me the most. So I'll back up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
this past year, I started to. Well, actually, I should back up even more. when I started singing at Cornerstone, mm-hmm. it was really my first experience with worship music and with worship in general. So mm-hmm. I would come to HP as a member, and I'd see you all sing and worship up there, and mm-hmm. I just felt drawn to it, and I didn't know why. So I, like, came up and asked you if I could sing, not knowing how big of a deal it was. I did my little audition. and I just fell in love with it, and I just felt God calling me into that. And so mm-hmm. I dove in, no idea what I was doing, and I still, like, really appreciate how much you embraced me in that and helped guide me through mm-hmm. the fear. There was a lot of crippling fear mm-hmm. at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was so cool how that got brought into our conversation with the students the other day about how the Bible tells us to not fear 365 times.
Yes.
We could literally have a, you know, a piece of the Bible every single day that tells mm-hmm. us.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really cool. Mm-hmm. But this past year, I felt myself, you know, as I was growing stronger and more confident and writing more, I do a lot of songwriting too, so mm-hmm. as I was writing more, I had a lot of great people in my life with a lot of really what I thought were helpful opinions, and everybody was coming in, you should mm-hmm. do this, you should do that, and mm-hmm. you would be great at this, you would be great at that. And I started to get off track with what I think God was calling me to. Mm-hmm. And I started to get it in my head, you know, I'm over all this Christian music and worship stuff, and mm-hmm. we can get into that a little bit, but I think when you really do dive into something, you spend all your time doing it, it can be easy to get discouraged or burnt out or kind of get sick of it. Mm-hmm. But that's not what God calls us to do. He calls us to push through that and to keep going. But instead, I was like, you know what? Maybe that's my sign. I'm going to go do something else. And so I had this opportunity to go out to LA and write with someone out there that I was really excited about writing with. And it looked like everything was set in place, and I was set to leave Monday morning, and Saturday night I get a text that says, hey, sorry, bad news. You know, we can't make it. It's not going to work this week. We got a spot on the Today Show. And I was mm-hmm. like, oh, I mean, gosh, you can't tell them no
Today
for me.
Show.
What? and I totally understood. And he's a great guy, and they're doing great things. Mm-hmm. And then I had another friend I was going to write with out there. The very next morning after I got that text, he texted me and said, bad news. Like, my flight to London got pushed up early, and I can't write either. Mm. And so all the plans that I had made for my entire week in Los Angeles mm-hmm. were gone. Mm-hmm. So I called my mom. She was going to travel with me, mm-hmm. and she did. She came with me, and I called her and I said, "All right, Mom, here's what's happening. What do I do?"
Right,
and
right.
She goes, "Well, I was just going to come out there for vacation with you anyway. So why don't we just spend the time for what it is? Spend the time together, mm-hmm. And we don't want to not go on this trip, because maybe there's something else that God wants to teach you and to mm-hmm. show you there. We don't want to just quit. You know, let's go. We have the plans made." So I flew out there. L.A., you know, I think it's for some people. It was not for me. I did not like it.
Oh, really?
You know, the weather's beautiful. I love the ocean and the mm-hmm. beach.
Yes.
But I mean, I think it was mostly just kind of that feeling of, this is not your place. This is not your home. Mm. And so God made it, like, very, very clear to me. Mm-hmm. And it gave me a much deeper appreciation for where I'm at now. Mm-hmm. But I really got a lot out of that trip. Mm-hmm. And he kind of centered me back into the path that he wanted me to be on all along.
Yeah.
And was kind of speaking into my heart about that. And I think the thing that I said is, it's funny that however many times, you know, you stray away or you push him away, or you think that you can make your own plans, like, he keeps pursuing you and he mm-hmm. keeps pulling you back in.
Yeah.
And I just felt that really strongly on this trip, and kind of got back on track with what he's calling me to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that, you know, is really powerful about the Lord, about, you know, he made us and knows us, and mm-hmm. we do our very best to make plans, and I think especially about your future, plans are super important, and mm-hmm. I preach that. I'm mm-hmm. like, sit down, make up a plan, and we've done that before, planning before together before, and doing the, what is that thing we do? Oh, the brand script planning and stuff, mm-hmm. and that truly, truly, truly helps. The thing is, we are human. and God is God.
Yeah.
And so we sit down and we do like our very best to order ourselves and order our lives and get things yeah. together in the way yeah. that we really feel like we, you know, yeah. we're being led. But also, I think we can give ourselves a little, we can be easier on ourselves, I think, in our planning, because realizing that since God loves us so much, he's going to let us live our life and he's, you know, with us and he's, his presence is always with us. But he'll direct, like he's got enough to direct you know.
Well, and I think when you know, because it is key. I mean, preparation is key. You should always be prepared, because if you're not preparing, then you might not be ready for that opportunity,
or the
right
when
door when it does open.
Yes.
But I think how I knew was, I would have expected with those closed doors to be disappointed or upset. And I was just overwhelmed with this sense of peace, and I was grateful and relieved. Like, I was genuinely grateful for those closed doors. And I remember, like, thinking out loud even, like, thank you so much, God, for closing this door. Thank you, because I know that now I'm looking out for that open door that you will open.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to have to go down another road only to find out later that it wasn't for me anyways.
Right.
And so I even had an opportunity to go right with this person that following Monday, and he texted me last minute, was like, hey, you want to come write? And I think that was my opportunity to make that choice. You know, are you going to kind of try to get sucked back into that, or are you going to stay strong in what, you know you're being called to now? And so I said, yeah, it's not gonna work this time. And it felt good. I felt empowered in that. And I think it's sometimes it is about those choices. And you can have a lot of people pulling you in all kinds of different directions. But that doesn't mean you have to go in that direction. You don't have to say yes, even if it's a great opportunity and they're a great person and all these great things seem like they could happen from it. If it's not in God's will, then it's not something that you should be saying yes to.
Right.
So that was a big lesson to learn.
Yeah. You know, the ability to say no is huge. And a lot of people are scared of that and scared of that word, and is opportunity going to come back again? And somebody going to ask me something
else
if I say no to this? Some people work themselves to death because they don't say no to one thing or the other. And I had to learn that. And, you know, I was always ripping and running from one thing to the next. But there's a place for everything in your life. And so if you have to say no today, it doesn't mean that the answer isn't yes later on, but be confident and be okay with that no. A friend of mine said, if it's not a, well, he used a word, so I can't say that word.
I know what you're talking about.
If it's not a definite yes, that's what I'll say. If it's not a definite yes, then go ahead and say no and be cool about, you know, with it and with yourself, and give yourself a break, and don't be so, you know, hard on yourself because you had to say no.
Well, you're going to laugh, because my word for last year, I remember like thinking, when I start my new year, so, you know, people
do
New Year resolutions.
Yes.
I actually do it on my birthday. And I think that's why God actually, the month of April for me, my birthday was April 5th. The month of April for me is always like a transformative month. I feel every year I can look back and see like God working extra hard in my life during that month. But last year my word was like, I'm like, I'm just going to say yes. My word was yes. I'm like, because I'm the kind of person that I'll hold back. I kind of like react in fear or not being good enough, kind of being hard on myself. So this whole last year I'm like, whatever it is, anything, like I'm just going to say yes. I mean, you know, within limits and boundaries, but especially opportunities in music, kind of growing. And I think it did work out for me, like to my advantage. I got a lot of great experiences out of it. But I will say, it's April again. And looking back on this past year, I said yes to a lot of things that maybe I shouldn't have. I've learned a lot from, but maybe it was getting me off course. And it kind of like makes you take a little bit longer to get to where you're going when you say yes to everything.
But don't you think, like, in those seasons, like, it's kind of like it may be what you need to like go through that.
I gained a lot of self-confidence.
Yes. And now you're like, okay, now
I can say no.
Yes. Yes. Now I know
that's true.
Kind of what's for me and what's not for me. And I feel confident in my no's now that I
That's a good
I say
point.
Yes.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, so everyone out there, just say yes for a year. That will just solve all of your problems.
That'll make everything
sound
better.
Advice from Stevie Ray. Okay.
But yeah, that's you know, I always say, especially to when I'm speaking to women that, and I'm not saying that men aren't like this, but mm-hmm. I'm just saying for women, we are extra hard on ourselves and we are extra critical on ourselves and we convince ourselves that we waste time and mm-hmm. all of these things. And a lot of times it's things that we just think up, you know, in our head when we could say, you know what, that was a learning experience, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. Now I have that experience and now I'm older and smarter and, you know, now I'm better able to make these decisions. It's all good.
Yeah, I think the key is definitely not regretting any time spent on mm-hmm, anything and mm-hmm. and pulling the lesson out of it.
Mm-hmm. So how important do you think it is to have that season where kind of like the Lord kind of gives you a really good focus and I call it telling you who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how important do you think that season is in this next season when you're giving yourself permission to say some no's to some things?
I think it's so important. And I wish that I would have given myself the time and the space to do that in my early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
If that's like any advice I would give to people in their early 20s is to not worry so much about what other people in your life are saying you are or are saying you would be good at and what mm-hmm. you should do.
Mm-hmm.
And to just take that time with you and God and spend those moments, whether it be like in the early morning or like late at night, whenever your time is, to just sit and be with him and really dig into who you are. Because you can spend a lot of time trying to be who other people think you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent a lot of years doing that. And I had convinced myself that that's what I thought who I was too. You know, mm-hmm. I was like, I mm-hmm. need to go be in corporate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I need to get a grown-up job
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
do all these things. Yeah, I would encourage, like, the earlier you can do it, the more impact you're going to be able to have.
Yeah,
and, the less lost you'll feel in your, like, mid to late 20s.
Right, right. One of the things, and I'll go back to one of the things we talked about after when you came and you spoke to the Visible Students, then we did some worship.
Mm-hmm.
Then we went through 1 Samuel 17.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought that today because I was like, I know that we're going to end up talking about, you know, some of these things.
Yes.
But one of the things we talked about in 1 Samuel 17 is David's oldest brother. When David came to the battle lines to check on his brothers, to bring mm-hmm. them some food and see what was going on, and he was supposed to go back and give his dad an update on what's going on and on his brothers. But when his brothers, when he came, his eldest brother said, why have you come down here? And where are those sheep that you're supposed to be tending in the wilderness? And I know how conceited you are, and I know how wicked your heart is, and you only came down here to watch the battle. And he spits all this stuff at David. And one of the things that we brought out in the scripture that's somebody that's close to him and is supposed to know him and know his heart really doesn't get him at all,
mm-hmm.
doesn't get him at all. And doesn't know who David is. And so one of the things that we talked about in the Visible class is that if you're not getting who you are from the Lord, you could be sincerely down a path of even maybe somebody is well-meaning and they're trying to help you get to where you're going.
Yeah.
But you got to get that from God. You
mm-hmm.
know, you got to stay firm on getting that from God. And for me, getting that from God means I think I can say that for both of us, getting that time with God, just the quiet time where you are worshiping, where you are praying, mm-hmm. where you are asking the Lord, tell me who I am,
mm-hmm.
Name me again, you know, tell me one more time again so that I know how to order my life. And And then there's, you know, there's more that we want to get into about how specifically how you get that from God. Mm-hmm. But can we take a break?
Yeah.
Is that okay? Okay. So let's take a break and we will be right back.
Every heart, every woman. Every heart, every woman.
You're listening to Every Heart, Every Woman, the show where women find balance, peace, and inspiration.
Every heart,
now let's get
every
back to the show
woman.
With your host, Carla Nivens.
Welcome back, everyone. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show, and I am having a great conversation with Stevie Ray Farrell. Hey, Stevie.
Hey.
So we were before we went on break, we were talking about, you know, how we spend time with the Lord and how we get that time in for the Lord to name us so that we know where we're going in life. We know what to say yes to. We know what to say no to. We know how to be confident in our no,
mm-hmm.
and excited about our yeses.
Yes.
You know? So we were talking about 1 Samuel 17, and over our break, Stevie pointed this out to me. So I want to read this. It is in verse 34, when David is telling Saul that when he was out tending the sheep, that, you know, a lion came and a bear came and he was able to defend the sheep and he was able to, you know, make sure that he was a good shepherd and taking care of the sheep and keeping them alive and keeping them in the path. And he really talks kind of aggressively and graphically about his skill level and what he was able to do as a warrior, as a fighter. And he was really saying, you know what, I am confident that I can face Goliath in this battle and I can win. And I have the Lord on my side. And we just, you know, kind of brought out that David was there and he has spent the time with the Lord and he knew who he was. You know, he spoke very confidently. This is what I've done and this is what I can do in this battle against Goliath. And he knew who he also knows who God is. He also mm-hmm. says, you know, I am a servant of the Lord. And so I am confident and I'm able to defeat Goliath today. Mm-hmm. And so you brought out, you were saying that in your life, that kind of translates how?
Was the faithful in the little things? Or
yes.
The
servant?
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I think, and Matthew actually brought this up in the class, mm-hmm. saying, you know, one of the things that he observed was that he was always faithful in the little things
mm-hmm.
for many, many years. And it may have seemed little and like nothing, and he probably would have been the least expected person to be able to
thought,
go up and do that. His
yeah.
family, mm-hmm. family saw him that way, and
mm-hmm.
it, most likely not in a hurtful way. I mean, we can't say that. We weren't there.
Right.
But I like to think, you know, most family,
yes.
they're doing things in a loving way, and they care about you, care for you, want the best for you. But he was still faithful in all the little things, and I think that's what prepared him and gave him the strength and who he was
right.
and what he was able to do.
Right.
And I think, I was going to say something else about that. Oh, he also, when he was so confident in who he was and that he was going to be able to do this, he also was able to say no to what wasn't going to work for him.
Yes.
So he said no to putting on all that
the armor and Saul's
and
armor,
all
yes.
the things that he
yes.
knew.
Yes.
You know, he hadn't been used to or been using.
Right. Right.
So he knew who he was. He was confident in that. He knew what to say no to,
mm-hmm.
and he was fully prepared to go into
mm-hmm.
battle.
Yeah, yeah.
But if he hadn't have spent all those years being faithful in the little things, I don't think that he would have had that confidence in who he
right,
was.
Right, right. And we, you know, we can learn so much from scripture and it, you know, to help us in our daily life. I think sometimes we forget, go to the Bible, you know,
mm-hmm.
read the words,
mm-hmm.
see what you can pull out because mm-hmm. there is wisdom and guidance and this is the word of the Lord. One of the things that we also talked about in 1 Samuel 17 is that when David was able to say no to that, it was kind of like he didn't turn into, he didn't, use that moment, that big battle in defeating Goliath, he didn't use that moment to try something new and to try to be something else. And
but he wasn't.
Yes, 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 yes. He was able to, you know, firmly say, under pressure, I'm gonna be me. I'm going to face this battle like I face every other battle. Mm-hmm. And I've been faithful in the little things, like you said. And and I've, you know, I'm ready for this big battle.
Yes. Actually, I had written something in my notes when I was in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I don't need to water down my message to appeal to the masses.
There you go.
And I think that kind of speaks to that, like changing who you are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had so many people talking to me, why would you want to like just do, you know, contemporary Christian music when you could, you know, you want to be able to reach more people than that. And I was like, you know, if I'm not speaking exactly what's supposed to be coming out, what my message should be, then it's not going to mean anything anyways.
Right.
Like what the Lord has for you to say and to do and like the impact that he has for you to make in this world, it's very specific, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, that's better.
Right.
And to not try to like water down your message and what you have to say,
right.
But to stay firm in that and what it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, I have found that for me personally, we were just talking about this with the worship team the other day. I have found that that's where the anointing is. Like, you can probably do some other things. We're all musicians. We can probably write some other things and, you know, practice it up and get it good enough to record it. But it's going to do what it's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But think about the power and just the supernatural power and authority that's going to be behind what the Lord wants you to do.
Yeah.
Now it's not just your efforts.
Mm-hmm.
It's his life on it, is his will on it, is that extra special. That's what the anointing is on it. It's going to accomplish a whole lot more for, you know, for the good of the kingdom than you spinning your wills and spending money and all this other stuff doing some other things. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's good. And then there was one other thing that you said that really helps you to know who you are and have the confidence to say yes to things and no to other things.
I think it was service. We were talking about
service.
That was another, you know, I found that I had been over the past few months, you know, not paying as close attention to like, how much am I serving other people? I was kind of being selfish. we all go through those phases.
Yes.
We're all human.
Mm-hmm.
But I was a little like me. And I think that only lasts for so long until you realize, oh, wait, like when was the last time I served somebody?
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, what do they call it? Oh, my gosh. Volunteer.
Yes.
There's a word for it.
Like nonprofits and
it doesn't even necessarily mean that. It could just be calling up a friend and asking them how they're doing and really listening and seeing how you can serve them and help them in their life. But I think that when you're constantly pouring into someone else, that you get so much more out of that. And that was just kind of another thing I felt strongly. Get back into service. Like, use your gifts and what you've been given to serve others with no other motives or intentions behind it other than to just serve.
Yeah.
And I was kind of thinking back to our time in Costa Rica a couple years ago and just how like peaceful and centered we all felt after that trip. And that you can really only get that through service. And that, like, if you have not gone on a mission trip or if you have not even done something just in your community to serve other people, you're missing out on a really great feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I can say two things come to mind. First is I really, that lyric is playing in my head. Like, I found my life when I laid it down, you know, I found myself on mission trips.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you just, I don't know. It's just right in front of you who you are when you take some time to turn off this cell phone and turn off the TV and turn off cable and go and serve for a week or 2 weeks or a month or, you know, a year, whatever you can do, a couple of days, if that's all you can do. You know, you see yourself in a different way. Sometimes I feel bad because I feel like I get more out of missions than what I've given, you know. And
but that's not true.
It's not true. It's but, not true. You know, you just, I come yeah. back and I thought, did I do enough? And my whole life is in order. You know?
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
But yeah, you find yourself on mission trips and the mm-hmm. Lord, and it may be just because you have moved so much out of the way to be there and you're exhausting yourself at someone else's expense. Mm-hmm. You're emptying out yourself. And then at the end of the day, you're, you know, spending some time in worship and prayer and scripture.
Yep.
And you're allowing the Spirit of the Lord to refuel you for mm-hmm. the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord really does speak on mission trips. I think we can all attest to that. Mm-hmm. The other thought I had when you said that is in Love Ministries, I remember, I don't know, several years ago, and I was teaching the 9 and 10-year-olds every single week. And I remember thinking, you know what, Lord, one of the children said something. I can't remember what they said. And I thought, Lord, I want them to know, they need to know who they are, like even yeah. right now. If they can get this at 9 and 10, mm-hmm. then, you know, by the time they're teenagers, think of what mm-hmm. they could do. And then by the time they're in college, think of what they can do. And then when they're adults, think of what they can do. And the Lord really heard that small prayer of mine. I don't even know if I knew it was a prayer, but he heard it and he said, okay, I'm going to make you serious about teaching these 9 and 10-year-olds. It almost makes me cry. It changed me. Like, I got super passionate and serious, and you know, I was looking up my own scriptures and getting ready for the class and giving them worship time and worship space. I would take them out of the building around the corner yeah. just so that, you know, they could be away from everybody else and they mm-hmm. could have serious time to hear from the Lord. Like, he just lit my fire. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, you want the kids to know I'm going to use you and you're going to change. Yeah. And, you know, you're going to have a fire and a passion about this. So, that's true. I'm serving other people, and it doesn't have to be anything huge or big.
Mm-mm.
Just find somebody to use your gifts to help. Have you found that the songs that you write have changed after because of an act of service or because of something you've done for someone else, and then you know it kind of changes you and what you write?
Yeah. I have a real passion for that.
You do.
Like for the tween age kids mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And teens and yeah, just kids in general. Mm-hmm. I do. Mm-hmm. And so I noticed that a lot of the songs that I was writing were geared towards that age group and kind of inspiring them and empowering them to be all that they were created to be.
Mm-hmm.
So like two of the songs I'm the most excited about that I can't wait to put out are Unstoppable
mm-hmm.
And Perfect. And okay. Unstoppable is going to be my single, and it's all about coming into who God made you to be and realizing that once you do that, you become unstoppable in whatever it is you want to do,
mm-hmm.
Whatever it is you're called to do.
Yes.
And then Perfect is a song I wrote towards that age, like the middle school age. They've all got cell phones now. They're all on social media.
Yep.
they're all seeing so many unrealistic expectations mm-hmm. On these little tiny screens.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about kind of releasing those pressures to be perfect. So the song's all about not having to be perfect, and nobody's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely, I think that wherever you're serving, it's going to impact you somewhere else in your life where you're working.
Yes.
And it might not be songwriting or writing or art, anything artistic in general. It could be
right.
in your job as an accountant.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You'd just be surprised where those little moments will show up in other areas of mm-hmm. your life, I think.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think, first of all, congratulations on
thank you.
You know, your project and everything.
It's been a process.
It has been a process, but
lesson in patience.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But also, just to hear you, just because, you know, I met you when you were 25
mm-hmm.
and now at 29, you know, firmly know that and are mm-hmm. able to articulate that and be so excited, like your face just lit up when you mm-hmm. talked about those two songs. And then I thought, I mean, in the music business, there probably is not that many people writing for the age group that you're writing for.
Yeah.
And I know that you've come to Love Ministries and you've tried out
Falling,
right?
Uh-huh.
It immediately took with the kids.
They loved it.
It immediately took with the kids. They mm-hmm. knew the words. They, mm-hmm. you know, were singing it themselves, you know. And
it's
everything.
Funny. It's kids and then like older moms, like my mom's age group. I'm not okay. saying she's old. moms of 20-something-year-olds, you know. I mean, yeah, that was bad.
I was like, how can we... Your mom. So I met
she's
your
so,
mom, and she is so young. She really is.
She is. But, you know, not because, I mean, people my age, I mean, my yes. age people are moms now. So I mean, mm-hmm. like the moms of the people that are my age
yes.
and then the
yes.
kids.
Yes.
Super related to that song. My age group, not so much. And that's funny because I would also say just because something doesn't appeal to I've always kind of been like outside of my age group and like mm-hmm. my interest, the kind of music I like. Mm-hmm. And I think that's unique, and you should embrace that. If you're one of those people that's kind of like, oh, I don't know quite where I fit in, you are right where you're supposed to be, mm-hmm. and you have a place to fit,
mm-hmm.
and you have an audience to speak to.
Yes,
even if it may not be your peers.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. I mean, find out what niche yeah. the Lord has called you to.
Yeah,
and be excellent. You
yes.
know,
embrace it.
Yes. Yeah.
yeah.
At that niche. So I can share that is Falling already out? You have one already
yes,
out.
Yes. The acoustic version.
The acoustic
yeah.
version of Falling yeah. is already available for people to yes. download and everything. And Our Love Ministries students, I won't call them kids, Our Love Ministries students loved the song mm-hmm. and immediately took to the song.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what we're saying and what we're talking about, you know, it really does work.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we met, that's what we started doing. We started, mm-hmm. you know, talking about how do you hear from the Lord?
Yes.
What does quiet time look like?
Mm-hmm.
You know, breaking it down. So share with us what your quiet time looks like. Because I'm sure people are listening like, okay, could you break that down
yeah.
for me?
I've always been a morning person, so it's definitely in the morning,
mm-hmm.
most mornings. And I wake up, make my coffee, gotta have my coffee first
mm-hmm.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I have a timer now. I have like one of those coffee pots with the timer set.
Okay.
So like I wake up to coffee.
Oh, and it's already made.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Highly recommend it. and I like to be outside. So if it's weather permitting, I go
mm-hmm.
out on my balcony and I bring my journals out with me.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'll listen to a worship tune at the start. But sometimes I won't. Sometimes I'll just be in silence. And if something comes out, I'll just start humming.
Mm-hmm.
If I really like it, I'll take my phone out and record it on voice memo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And kind of just get in that quiet space. And for me, it's not as much meditating on that. It's getting a pen and a paper and writing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I find that if I try to like meditate without writing, just kind of sitting still and letting it soak in,
mm-hmm.
a lot of times my monkey brain will overthink things and start to like flip the script and start like, you know, I'm starting to like edit God's download to me, you know, as he's downloading.
Mm-hmm.
So I just like to free write because
okay.
then I have no choice. I'm like writing whatever
yes.
is coming out.
Yes.
And then... that's how it works. And then I have those free writes and those journals to kind of reflect and look back
right.
on different seasons of
right.
my life.
Right.
But, you know, that is not every morning. And sometimes it's just as simple as 5 minutes in the car when you park somewhere and you're a little bit early and you turn off the radio and you close your eyes and
mm-hmm.
just say a little prayer and,
mm-hmm.
you know, have a little bit of time. Sometimes
yeah.
those can be even more impactful
right,
moments.
Right, right, right. Yeah, that's, and you know, for me, I don't know that I've been outside a lot lately, but
mm-hmm.
I like to, I like the pick something on YouTube and
mm-hmm.
I like the live version of whatever it is.
Okay.
I'm always stuck on the live version of whatever. I love live. So I'll pick a song and just put that on YouTube and let that play and worship some and pray and listen. Then I try to listen to where I get almost sleep. Like,
yeah. Okay.
Like, just be quiet and just listen for a while. Mm-hmm. And see what the Lord says, and then I get up and write it down in my journal. Mm-hmm. So all of that to say that whoever's listening, so that's two totally different examples.
Another way
that
I think he really speaks to me, I don't know if this relates to you too, but when I'm getting out of my comfort zone and I'm doing something new, and even especially through travel, he speaks to me in these like new environments where I'm not distracted by any of my like monotonous day-to-day things. Mm-hmm. I don't have any responsibilities at the moment, like wherever I'm at. So kind of like getting out of my comfort zone or taking a break and going on vacation. Sometimes those are the moments where I'll get those little downloads and little messages. When I'm not thinking about anything else that's going on in my day-to-day life here in Dallas. It was a great, I mean, Los Angeles, my trip to Los Angeles was a great example of that because I was just there. And then I was there with nothing to do. So I was like, okay, God, speak to me. What do you want? Why am I here?
Yes. Well, you know, I've learned because I taught a very thick book for Visible this semester on, it was a spiritual formation class.
Okay.
And went through different spiritual disciplines. We probably only practice one or two in our entire lives unless we get into a class like that and really go through. Yeah. Rest is one of the spiritual disciplines.
Yes.
People, we don't like to rest. We just think. So when you said that, when you like travel, getting out of the norm, doing something different, being in a new place, seeing new things.
And don't overload your schedule when you're traveling.
There you go.
My mom and I had nothing on the agenda for 8 straight days.
That's good. That's good. That's good. And so, honestly, that is living one of the spiritual disciplines. That is rest.
Yeah.
And so, you take that time and you're going to, you know, not overplan it, but just, you know, get up, see where the wind blows you. You might go out on the beach and, you know, listen to some music. You may go out and write some lyrics. You may take your guitar out there. You may, you know. See how you feel and see what the Lord says. That's good. That's one of the spiritual disciplines. So,
all right.
Yes. You were living right into it. Yeah. One of the other things that I wanted to make sure that we hit in 1 Samuel 17 that that we remember that we are the Lord's, that the Lord made us. He loves us so very much. He knows us intimately. So that's why we want to take the time to rest and to serve and to be faithful in the little things, getting close to the Lord so he can speak to us and that we can make sure that we're always operating under the authority of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we stay close to him, he will stay close to us. So thank you so much, Stevie, for being here. I truly appreciate your time. So everyone, our radio show, Every Heart, Every Woman Radio, is a program of Love Ministries, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. You can get all the information about Love Ministries from their website, loveministriesbuilds.org. You can also go back to our iTunes account and catch up on all of the past radio shows. We thank you so much for leaving us a 5-star rating on our iTunes. And you can keep up with us on our social media, EHEW Radio. Everyone, we want you to have a wonderful week. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host of the Every Heart, Every Woman Radio Show.